I will have to ask you to bear with me with my English language. And first we will turn to Proverbs 14. And we read on verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, beloved friend, God says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. That's you, individually. But the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of all men in sin are death. Now we turn a page on chapter 12. And we read this verse which was read yesterday, or day before yesterday. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearken unto counsel is wise. Now we will turn to another verse which was quoted also during the meetings in 1 Samuel 9, the last verse, 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us," and he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Now it is our privilege tonight, dear friends, to show you the word of God. The gospel of salvation by grace. And as we have read, there are ways that seem right unto the man, but the end thereof is death. Well, perhaps someone will say, "Well, that's not me." But let's see what God says to say in Isaiah 53. And we read on verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God says that you and me and everybody else hath gone astray in his own way. Each one of us has his own way, his own character, his own way of thinking, and the end is death. Yes, my friend, the end of it is death. Whether you follow your own way or try to follow your neighbor's way, it is death. We have a tendency as human beings to try to copy from others, to copy from the world. But the scripture tells us that the end is death. What shall we do? Well, we have an answer here in Jeremiah 6. And we read on verse 16. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? Oh, my friend, God tells you to stand still. Don't make another step. Stand still. And ask. See and ask. But stand still right now. Don't make another step forward. Don't leave it until tomorrow. Tomorrow might be too late. Stand still in thy way. Don't leave it, I say it again, as they say in Mexico, mañana. No, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of, there is an acceptable time. Today is when God is calling you, for tomorrow might be too late. Oh, I will try to tell you a story. On our last trip in the mountains of Durango. Probably some of you know about it. I wrote to some of the brethren. But I can help by relate it to you. It touched my heart. We went off to a place called the Tables in English, Las Mesas. And we got in time just to have a gospel meeting in the evening. Almost the whole village turned in to hear the gospel. And the message was given. Among the people was a young girl, her mother, a widow, and her small sister. And they listened very attentively because they had never heard it before. Oh, you children of the saints, you hear the gospel, you're under the sun of the gospel. And sometimes you might not even pay attention to what is being said. You probably say, well, I heard that before. But those dear ones, they never heard it before, so they listened very attentively. And this girl and her mother and her little sister heard the gospel. Next day, they started a trip towards the coast to work in the tomato fields. And they had to make up the night in the middle of the way. It takes 2 days to get to the place where they were going. When it was dark, the girl's boyfriend came along, and as it is a custom in some parts in Mexico, he suggested that she flee with him. She said no. Then he threatened her. He said, I'll shoot you, I'll kill you, you don't go with me. The girl said, you can shoot me, you can kill me, but I'm not going with you. Well, the young man took out his gun and shot her on her forehead, and she died instantly. Oh, if that girl had been hurt, the good tidings of God, I wonder where she would be today. But what makes us think that the girl listened and believed was that she refused to go with her boyfriend. Ordinarily, he wouldn't have to shoot her to go with him. But she refused. Somebody might say, well, that was foolish of her. But I think she had the fear of the Lord. And that's why she wasn't going to do anything that will dishonor the Lord. She preferred to die. And someday we will see her when the Lord comes for His people, for His redeemed ones. Oh, how wonderful the grace of God is to take us to that place just the day before they were leaving the place. God wanted that girl to hear the message a day before she was going to eternity. Perhaps, young lady, young boy, this is the last message you might hear. Oh, don't put it aside. Stand still and see and ask. Stand still and see just what we were singing. Oh, see His uplifted hands nailed to the cross. Look at Him. But look with the look of faith. Look Him nailed to the cross for your sins and for mine. Look at Him with a crown of cross, with His pierced side. Look at Him and hear Him, that overwhelming cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Oh, He was forsaken there for you and my sake. So to bring us nigh to God through His precious blood that He shed there on the cross. Stop. Don't go thy way. Don't follow that course you've been following. Stop. Stand still and see. See how He was treated. See Him in agony at Gethsemane Garden. See how the soldiers, Roman soldiers, they plaited a crown of thorns to put in His blessed head. All the wicked heart of man, they had the boldness to go out and get a pistol and get the thorns and plaited them until they make a crown to put it on His head. You know that took time. And a sinner, he is by his daily walk, by his daily life, plaiting, I would say, just a thorn for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand still and see. See Him how He pleads for the sinners. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See Him there take earth, bleeding, shedding His blood in ransom for you and for me. Oh, I remember the time that I was going on my own way, and it was to destruction, to eternal perdition. But God made me stand still. And then I saw Him nailed to the cross. Oh, and I am so thankful. And I am so happy since then, because He showed me the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He saved me from the power of darkness. And He can do the same thing to you, my dear friend. You know, Abraham, he was justified because he believed what God told him. He believed that God was mighty to do what God had told him He will do. Now God wants you to believe that there is only one Savior and one way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is only one way of having your sins blotted away, and that is through that precious blood He shed at Calvary's cross. Oh, my friend, stand still. There are many ways of men. We see in the Epistle of Jude, that he tells there that some, on verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Oh, poor Cain, he thought his ways was right unto his sight, but the end was death. No, this doesn't mean because he killed his brother, though that was the consequence of taking his own way, of following his own way. He tried to come before a thrice holy God with an offering that he sweat to get from the land that was accursed. And in other terms, he tried to bribe God to pardon his sins. He tried to please God with their offering, their fruit that he got from the soil, from the land. There was no blood shed. Oh, how pitiful, pathetic it is that there are many, especially in my country and other countries down south, where they are following the way of Cain. They do a lot of devotions, penance. Some of those poor people that put cactus on their bare backs, they walk on their knees, they make long pilgrimage to an idol, trying to please God, and they think they are right. They are just trying to please God in the way that God's wrath is aroused, because he will not justify the guilty. And those poor people, they are following the way of Cain. Some try to keep the commandments, and they fail, but it is only an excuse to keep on living in sin against the will of God. They are excused not to accept Christ in their hearts. Oh, my friend, if you are religious and you think your religion will help you or save you, you are mistaken. Don't follow the way of Cain. There is only one way, and Christ is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me, not through penance, not by lighting candles or by other things, but through the precious blood of Christ. Then we see another scripture in 2 Peter. On 2 Peter 2, 15. We have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Who loved the wages of unrighteousness, the way of Balaam. Oh, my dear friend, if you are falling that way, stand still. Don't make another step. Don't love the wages of unrighteousness. The end is death. It is very pitiful to see a soul that is following the way of unrighteousness and is living a wicked way. Perhaps I tell you another story. In that same place, or that same state rather, in the back country, there is a man. His name is Pedro Pete Ayon. I didn't know that man on my first trip down there. I heard much about him. Everybody feared him. He is a sharpshooter and a murderer. One night we were preaching the gospel in a place called South Sal. Presently I saw him coming, and by the description they had given me of him, I knew it was him. He had a companion with him. He hardly travels alone. He is a tall, about 6 foot length, tall, lanky looking fellow. And when I saw him, I tell you the truth, I was a little afraid. Because I had heard that he will shoot anybody he won't like. But then I commit myself unto the Lord. And he sat down and heard the gospel. Oh, God wanted him to hear the gospel too. God loved that man too, you know, if he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whosoever, even Pedro Ayon, for whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All the grace of God that brings salvation unto all men has been manifested. You hear the gospel here by many means. Down in those countries, in Mexico and other countries perhaps too, there are places where they have never heard the gospel, never have heard about the love or the grace of God. One time I was telling about the grace of God, how it was manifested to all men, even to the man that was there and woman that was there in that place, as even to Mexico. Oh, you can see how the eyes lit up with joy when they heard that the gospel, the grace of God was manifested even unto them. Well, I'll keep on with my story. And after I got through, I asked the brother, Juan, if that man was Pedro Ayon. He said, yes. I said, please introduce me to him. He did, and I started talking with him. Oh, he had a wicked look. I asked him if he liked what he heard then. Gospel. Oh, he said, I like it. And I invite you home. And if you need some mules, you can have my mules. Well, I thank God for that. Well, 2 or 3 days after we went to his home. And he received us very nicely. And even gave us his bed. Him and his wife and his children lay down on the floor, and he gave us his bed. But before that night we had another gospel meeting. And it was very rejoicing to see almost all the people of that village coming to hear the gospel. And it was very cold. It was very cold. There was snow in the mountains. And there wasn't room inside, so we have to have the gospel outside. They don't have overcoats or anything like such. But they stood there very quietly, attentively, listening to the word of God. Next day, this man, Pedro, got up and told me, "I'm going. But you can stay here as long as you want to." Then I asked Brother Juan why he was going. He said, "The more Pedro can stay in his own home in just one night, he is afraid he will get killed any moment." Oh, you should have seen that poor soul, that poor man. He lives in an uneasy life, fear in life. He walks back and forth like a caged animal. He's looking around all the time, trying to see if somebody's spotting him to kill him. He has followed the way of Balaam. He has loved unrighteousness. Oh, may God bless his word in that man's heart and be saved. It is a terrible and horrible life to live with a heavy conscience on you. My dear children, children of the saints, you have been hearing the gospel since you are small. And as I have heard, there is still one at a time when you will say, "I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in Him." Oh, not very long ago on our last trip, our son Pablito gave us a joy. He told his mother, he said, "Mama, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." It was a joy. And all dear children, I plead with you to give such joy not only to your parents, but to God Himself. For a long time, I was waiting to hear those words from Pablito. Now, in regard to that, getting a little perhaps out of the theme, shall we turn to 1 Samuel and see about little Samuel there? How he was taken to the priest, to Eli. Little Samuel made no resistance. He was small. You children are brought here by your parents. You make no resistance. You're small. But as you grow up, maybe some of you won't come anymore to hear the gospel. Oh, I have seen that in Mexico. I have seen that with an aching heart. How the small children were brought on to hear the gospel on Sunday school. They were happy when they were small, but as they grow up to be 15, 16 or more years, they're gone. They don't come. What had happened? Well, we see over here in 1 Samuel, on the first chapter, Verse 24. Talking about Hannah, his mother. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, just as some of you here. Oh, isn't that wonderful, how the mother took the child to the house of the Lord. But was that all she did? Oh, no. We look on chapter 2, and we see in verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Oh, what a wonderful mother he had. You know, a coat reminds me of the outward appearance of a person. An obedient child. And we can see further on that Samuel was an obedient child even unto Eli, the priest. And his mother make him a coat every year. She didn't just make him a coat and forgot all about it. Every year he was growing up, you know. Every year she occupied herself in making a coat for little Samuel. Oh, how important it is, dear sisters, to make the little coats for our children. Year after year. And it doesn't mean that she was making him a priest or a prophet. No. That only comes from God. But she was doing her part as a mother. She was making a little coat for little Samuel year after year. And that outward appearance of his obedience was manifested when God called him, and he thought that Eli, the priest, has called him. And right away he got up and say, as you call, three times. Ordinarily, a small boy will get sore about being called so often. Like Samuel was calling, he thought he was Eli, the priest. Perhaps we can read that for the children's sake. On chapter 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time that Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not, lay down again." And he went and lay down. Oh, how prompt was the little boy to answer. He didn't know that God was calling him. But that shows his obedience. Where was that teach at home? His mother. Oh, I believe the mother is the one that can really develop the character of the child at home. I believe that the mother has a large responsibility with the child at home. Well, we read again, verse 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not my son, lay down again. Oh, what a nice obedience we see of the child. He got up right away. Some of the children will say, wait a little longer, I'll go there. What do you want? But not Samuel. Not Samuel. You call me, he said. Here am I. You call me. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, like perhaps some of you, dear children. He didn't know the Lord at that time. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But you have heard the word of God. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I. Oh, I can't help but think about this little boy's obedience. Prompt obedience to his elders. Oh, nowadays, children don't mind about the elders. They mock at the elder people. It isn't that you get that going to a college or universities. I've seen some of those little children that have never gone to school, and they are so obedient to the older people. And I've seen some of those going to high school and college, even in Mexico City. You're afraid to go near them. They're so rude. Well, don't forget the little coats, year after year. But here's what Samuel did. Verse 19 now. And Samuel grew as you are growing. And the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, Samuel, as young as he was, he didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. If I were to ask you, what was the verse of last Lord's Day, perhaps some of you will remember, perhaps some of you won't remember. What has happened with that word, with that verse that was given last Lord's Day? Oh, not only you, but some of us too. We let a lot of the Lord's word fall to the ground. Don't mind it. Oh, that we'll receive the word of God into our hearts and see that there is no hole in our hearts to go down and forget about it. But if it is going down, it'll go down to our feet to walk according to what we have received. Now, getting back to Jeremiah 6. Thus said the Lord. Not thus said the brethren. No. Thus said the Lord himself. Stand ye in the way. Stand still. And see and ask. There are three things at first. Stand still. See and ask. That was a young fellow there in the Gospels. Shall we turn to Mark 10? This man presumably was a very religious young man, and he was trying to keep the commandments, but still he felt in his heart that he didn't have eternal life. He felt that still he was going unto eternal perdition. He was bankrupt. But he stand still. And he saw. And he asked. But he asked the wrong way. Shall we read about him? And on verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Oh, he was in a haste to come to Jesus. And kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Oh, what an error. What a question. Here was a man, young man, that stood still in his path. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked. But he asked in an erroneous way. No, God doesn't want you to ask that way. He wanted to inherit eternal life by works, not an inheritance is not given by works. And he wants to work the inheritance by works. What shall I do to inherit? If a father makes up a will, the son doesn't have to work out the will or to inherit the inheritance. The father gives it to him because he's his son. But this man came up and asked, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And you know the result. You know the set end of it. We read on verse 18, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." There was God. There was the sinner. But the sinner was asking in an erroneous way, like that other thief at Calvary, "If thou art Christ, if thou art Christ, you will get down from the cross and save us too, and get us down from the cross too. That wasn't the way to ask. So the Lord answered and say in 19, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he said, and he answered and said unto him, "Master, all this have I observed from my youth." Notice, he wasn't on the way. He didn't love unrighteousness. But still, he was lacking something. Perhaps you are a nice boy, nice girl. You're an upright girl, an upright boy. But if you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the efficacy of his blood, you are still lacking one thing. You still doesn't possess eternal life. So the Lord answered him in verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Go thy way. Sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, take up the cross, and follow me. Go thy way. Keep on going. And at the end, do this. Sell whatever you have. Get rid of covetousness. And come. Well, he wanted to do something. Something was given to him to do. But all his heart was on the possessions of this world. There is a verse in Proverbs that said, oh God, don't make me too rich, that I might forget you, nor too poor that I might steal, and your name be dishonored, or something to that respect. All the things of this world, it attracts our hearts. And if we let the hearts grow to the things of the world, the heart will be established on the things of this world, for the treasure is thy heart is also. So the Lord invited him and said, come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. And went away grieved. Oh, what a pitiful it! How pitiful it is. So near the Lord, and yet so far. So near even to kneel before him, and yet he had to go his way grieved, sad in his heart. But that wasn't the same story as to that eunuch in chapter 8 in Acts. He went his way rejoicing. He went his way rejoicing to Ethiopia. Now we will see another who asked on Luke 23, you know the story. About the thief. Chapter 23:44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in midst. Wait, I think I went a little too far away. It is on Verse 39, yes, thank you, brother. And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him and said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He is one that asks in an erroneous way. But the other answer rebuked him, saying, thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward our deeds, But this man had done nothing amiss, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, he didn't say, what shall I do? The poor man couldn't do nothing there on the cross. But he saw the Lord Jesus, and he spoke to him and asked him to remember him. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, how wonderful. Stand still. Stand still in thy ways. And see, look, and ask. And the way will be shown unto you. But if we don't stand still, if we keep on going on our own ways, our minds and hearts are all warped up with the things of this world, the way won't be sure. The God of darkness will blind the unbelief. Shall we turn to that verse, 2 Corinthians 4? Says in verse 3, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, yesterday, one of the brothers spoke about the word. There is no such thing as unsaved. And you know, in the Spanish language, there is no such word as unsaved. It is either saved or lost. Salvo o perdido. And here it says, the verse we read, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Eternal perdition. Eternal lost. To whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe it not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, beloved friends and beloved children, stand still. See him with his uplifted hands, calling you, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, work, labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He was crucified with his hands uplifted, open to receive any sinner that will come to him, believing in him. Not just knowing that he died for sinners, but making it personal. Oh, he died for my sins. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. Yes, we pray that none of you will leave this room without believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. And confessing him as your personal Savior. But see, look at him. Look at his pierced side. Look at his face, all marred with sweat and blood. Look at him drinking the last drop of the bitter cup to give you blessing, to give you salvation. Look at him. giving his life for you and me. Then you can look at him at the right hand of the majesty, at the right hand of the Father. But you have to look at him first on the cross. You have to see the horrible, how horrible the sin is before Holy God. You have to accept the love of God. You have to accept him as your personal Savior. There is none other Savior. Faithful, saying, and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Oh, how wonderful. He came to save sinners like you and me. He didn't came to try to help sinners, but to save them. Oh, children, don't let this drop to the ground. Don't let this word of God drop to the ground. Keep it in your heart. God bless his word. Now may we sing a hymn. Number 5. I plead again with those who have not known, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, to accept him now, not later, not tomorrow, now. We say in Spanish, hoy. And then you can sing this hymn with all sincerity. You know, one is apt to speak a lie, but I guess it is better to sing a lie unto God. And this hymn we I see here have to be sung with a happy and rejoicing heart, because it was the day that you fixed your choice. The day you stand still. The day you gave yourself to the Lord, or rather, you came to him just as you are. I believe this will be the day of your life that you will be rejoicing this day that you fixed your choice. And then sing it, and sing it with all your heart and with all sincerity. You know, one is apt to be singing lies. What I mean is this. One can sing, oh, happy day that fixed my choice to thee, my Savior and my God, and still reject God. And still reject his grace. And still doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, as his personal Savior. So I plead with you that we all sing with all sincerity and with all our hearts. Number 5. Would somebody please start it?
Oh.